Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be here with us today. We are at Daniel 7, book of the Old Testament. Daniel, one of the most interesting but prophetically complex books in the Bible. 7 is where the complexity begins, and no one has ever fully been able to understand the next three chapters. But I have my understandings that I tried to cling to, and I'm not going to tell you I fully understand it, but I have given it hundreds of hours of consideration, and we've come a long way. The children of Israel are in captivity as a result of their disobedience to God. They'll be there for 70 years. I mean, that's already prophesied, and Daniel knows. He's read the prophecy, I think it was in Jeremiah, and he knows how long this captivity will take, and he even prays about that here coming up. Like we said, Daniel is a eunuch. He was given over. He was one of the royals from the king's court in Jerusalem. And they were handed over to the captain of the eunuchs, and Christianity doesn't want to believe that, but there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, God in Revelation has a covenant with those who make themselves eunuchs for my sake. It's a very special reward in the end of times. I don't think Daniel had any say in the matter, but you see, we talked about this, that when a man's focus, when a man's distractions are taken away, he's able to focus his heart entirely on God, and that's who Daniel is. And Daniel becomes the most powerful man under Nebuchadnezzar and some of the succeeding kings that has already taken place in Babylon. And we see, in fact, that Daniel paves the way for the Magi to come and give their gifts to the Messiah when he's born in Jerusalem hundreds of years later. He delivers a scroll to Darius as he marches triumphantly through Babylon after he's taken over the kingdom. Cyrus or Darius, I don't remember which. But he has a scroll handed to him with his name on it, written 150 years earlier. Daniel was an amazing fellow. And we're getting into some of Daniel's prophecies here. Now, these prophecies are twofold. They represent upcoming kingdoms within a few hundred years of Daniel's time, and they also represent end days kingdom. You have to try to correlate exactly what's happening here. There'll be four kingdoms coming up, and we pretty much kind of identify those as conquering kingdoms of the still in the BC period, and then they are themselves a representation of kingdoms that will happen in the last 7 years of this world. So it's I say the last 7 years, that's when their end will come. Their kingdoms will arise before that, and we'll try to identify them here and give you various reasons why I believe that's exactly what it is. So we're here in chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and say, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. That is spiritual influence from God, and the great sea is humanity. So God is stirring up things to happen in the world. And four great beasts came up from the sea. Now, we had already talked about in one of Daniel's prophecies earlier, that a beast that comes up is a people. And the fact that they're coming up from the sea, they're coming up, four diverse peoples are coming up out of humanity upon the earth. Came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Each one very different in their ideologies, in their politics, in what gods they serve. Very different from one another. Start thinking about different nations in the world now, powerful nations, and how different they are from one another. And first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. Behold, till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Okay. Now there's some symbology in there that would make one consider that that could possibly be America. America is also described in this book as a young prowling lion in different places because of its power and the fact that it has not existed that long. And the wings of the eagle are an easy one. That is the national symbol. Okay, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. Ah, we're going to see a prophecy here where this America, it is absolutely America, and it is destroyed. And he's lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart, can also be said a man's understanding, was given to it. Okay, and behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it rises up upon on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said, thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Now, we all know the great nation in this world, the powerful nation, I don't want to call it great, the powerful nation, whose symbol is a bear, and that is Russia, which began as the Soviet Union. And the ones on the one side, I do believe that is a reference to the fact that a ideology had taken control of all the people in the country, and the entire population uprose as one and made communism their god. And it had three ribs in its mouth, between its teeth. They said, thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Well, 30 million people died in the initiation of the Soviet Union, Russia, under its Stalin. It was a bloodbath. Basically what it says here, arise, become great, devour much flesh. 30 million people. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now this one is the hardest one to identify. I do believe it is China, though, because China is the eastern player that the Bible talks about in other places. I have never been able to actually identify the leopard and the four wings or any correlation to the nation other than the fact that it must be China is the third player in this. And then the fourth one is very easy to identify because it's talked about in multiple places, Revelation and several other of the prophets. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Okay, this is the Antichrist's one world government. And that's absolutely, there is no missing this one, because that same narrative there is spoken about many, many times with the 10 underlings, the 10 underling kings that are under the Antichrist, and the fact that he subdues several of them because they break away from his rule. That one is without a doubt. And Daniel had already talked about the great nation that would arise. He saw iron and clay in the great statue that Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his dream, and the feet were made of iron and miry clay. And it said that they had mixed themselves with the seeds of men and taken control of the world. And they, this is what's this great diversity here that says, it is very, very different from all the others, because the others come from humanity. This is a portion of humanity under the control of demonic forces. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. That is the man himself. And I like how he describes him as a little horn, because it says he exalts himself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's not Jesus Christ, okay? But he's going to come here as a minor minion and proclaim himself to be God. So the little horn speaking great things, and the horn has eyes like the eyes of men. There, he's going to be very knowledgeable, and he's going to know what's going on everywhere in this world. It's going to be pretty much impossible to hide from him, because all of his minions are going to be released at that time into the earth, and they're going to be everywhere. There's a spiritual war going on all around us, and there will be nowhere to hide. You think you're safe? You and your friends in your basement worshiping God, they're going to find out, and they're going to know you're there. Oh, well, the rapture's going to pull us out of here. No, it's not. We're going to talk about that here shortly. That's a pipe dream. That's going to make the Christians of the world have a great falling away, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians. There'll be a great falling away at this time, because these pastors for years had been preaching, oh, before this stuff all happens, before all these bad things happen, God's going to snatch us all out of here. And the Bible does not say that. In fact, it says contrary to that. The church will be subdued by this man. Christians will be hunted down by this man if the rapture takes place. I've often wondered, where are all these Christians, and where is this church that this man's going to subdue and hunt down and persecute? Maybe God pours out some of these mixed with water instant Christians after the rapture just to give him something to do, but no. And that paves the way for this great falling away. Can you imagine someone who's been trying to follow God? You know, it's a struggle. Life is hard. There's a struggle here. And then life just gets so bad. So bad. And you keep remembering how. And you're seeing signs. The Bible says when you see these things, go to the hills. If the rapture were to take place, there'd no reason to go to the hills. You're already in the higher places. But you're seeing all these signs, and you're remembering, Pastor said, I'm supposed to be snatched out of here. Obviously, maybe it was a rapture, and I wasn't taken.
I didn't see any pressed clothing laying around.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, all that folded up clothing. Yeah, and the surgical implants laying neatly on top of the clothing. Oh my God. Hollywood and your pastors have set you up for a great downfall in your spirit, your mind. And the Bible says there'd be a great falling away of the faith. And it's all because of these preachers preaching this for years. And they just need to get this book open and earnestly read it.
Especially the part where it says, he who endureth till the end.
Yes. Oh, that's the end of the rapture. Oh, is it 3 seconds long?
Right.
No. You're right, Jonathan. He endured to the end. So this little man who exalts himself to greatness hath eyes in the horn, eyes of a man, and mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now this is a quick narration of the four kingdoms, and they are simultaneous kingdoms. And this is where, what he sees, that they arise simultaneously, and they're put down by the Ancient of Days. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now, this references to the wheels as burning fire. You have to go to Ezekiel and try to figure out that out. But there are angelic vehicles that God has placed his throne on, and it appears as a wheel within a wheel with lights surrounding the outer perimeter, and his throne descends on that. It's very interesting. It's very difficult, just like Daniel's difficult to understand. Ezekiel, you think Daniel's hard to understand. Ezekiel will absolutely turn your mind inside out trying to understand it. But that is the basic premise of these this burning, fiery wheel. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and judgment was set, and the books were opened. This is a narration of the final judgment. And this is the judgment of the dead, okay? Not when the Lamb opens his book of life, okay? Anytime the book, and you have to go to Revelation to see it called the judgment of the dead. All of those in the judgment of the dead. That doesn't mean that your body is dead. That means you are spiritually dead. There will be one sentence at that judgment, and they will all be guilty. I behold, then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now that is Satan, who has indwelled this man, be called Antichrist. And just a little narrative on him. He will begin as a man, a politician of some sort. And then he will be wounded in an assassination attempt. And at that time, Satan will indwell his body and reanimate it. I don't believe it's true life. I truly believe it's an animated piece of dead flesh that will be perceived as a human still alive and still beautiful. But in reality, I believe it will be a rotting corpse the entire time. I don't think Satan has that ability, but I may be wrong. That's just my personal interpretation, and maybe I'm not wanting to give him all the power that he actually has. I don't know.
In the world today, with the technologies and stuff like that, the Android and the inception of AI and everything, I kind of have the same mindset that this right here might seem fringe, but I believe that they're going to try to build him an Android and use AI to let him indwell that body, because he himself can't do the same as God does. He can only do like a copy or mimic.
Right, right.
But I kind of have the same feeling.
Yeah, again, that's my feeling. Something down those lines.
Right, right.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.